Back in 2005, our church took on the support of Bernard Ondieck, who was just at that time finishing his seminary training here in the States, and then preparing to go back to his homeland of Kenya to begin his ministry there. As you are aware of, if you keep up with our missionary news or with our prayer meeting group, you know the many avenues of ministry that Bernard is involved in, and how he keeps it up and does it, I don't know, other than he's a superhuman being, I guess. But he started the Harrow Evangelical School of Theology to train pastors in Kenya. He also is a church planter and a pastor and overseer of several churches. He started an orphanage that he and his wife operate. He also started Bernard's Vision School for children, and also began a medical clinic. And so he has a few irons in the fire. We were privileged a few years ago, or within the last few years, to be able to, through our missionary special project fund, to purchase some computers for the School of Theology. And most recently, we were able to purchase beds and mattresses for Bernard's Vision School. So it's a privilege to be able to have Bernard with us today. He's in the States here for about 5 or 6 weeks, about 3 weeks to go before he heads back. So will you welcome Bernard Ondieck to our pulpit today?
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Good morning. I tell you what, my name is Ondieck. And Ondieck in our culture is hyena. Hyena. Do you get that accent? Yes. And you know, hyena speaks louder. And I am so much happy to be here today. Good morning.
Good morning.
When I come here, my heart rejoices. And I want to thank you so much for inviting me and loving me and adopting me into this place. I want you to receive the greetings of my wife, Pamela. We were with her in South Carolina. We came for the graduation of our daughter, who graduated with Bachelor's of Science in Psychology at Columbia International University, where I went to school. And my wife had to go back immediately and let me continue with the trip that I had planned. One of them is to come today and visit you and also to say hello to you. And I want to thank God for Pastor and for welcoming me here. Recently, I want to sincerely thank God for what you've done to us. Recently, 1 week, we did not have any food for the children. And it was so hard because there was lots of political issues that was not very good, and we could not get food coming to our place, and we did not have any money, even if we had some food. But I'm going through my email, and I'm getting Pastor Billy's email and saying, Pastor Bernard, we have $1,000 for you. Where should we put it? And it was just like, God, you are God. And I tell you, you may not understand the joy that we have when we receive such a money just to go purchase food for the 815 kids. Now they can eat 3 meals a day. So I want to thank you so much for the provision that we've had of the computers and the bedding. Some of the kids who are using 3 people in a bed now can use one child, one bed, and a mattress. Praise the Lord. I am so happy to bring you the good news that Bernard's Vision School is doing very well. Kids are progressing, and and this development of spiritual growth, development academically, we are really making them to be strong men and women in future. And in the academic standard, we are beating all the schools around us in zonal and also in the county. And the last time we were, last year, one of our kids had number 27 in the whole of entire country, which actually is quite a very big joy to us as Bennett Vision School. That means these orphans are doing very well, and those who did the exams some years ago are now in the university, and some of them are studying to be engineers, and one is studying to be an IT, a computer analyst, and many others be teachers and whatever that God has put them through. So we are praying that God will continue to move these kids from hopelessness to hopefulness. And that is our main aim. And despite of that, we have so many challenges. When I am done with the preaching of the gospel, I would want us to play a video of 8 minutes that you will see all the progress and what we are really, and all the challenges that we have. But right now, I would want us just to read from the Bible and talk a little bit from the Word of God. Let us read from the book of Acts of the Apostles. The book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. I want to read some few verses there, and just to bring the gospel to you. Acts of Apostles, chapter 20. I'm almost there. Yes. Let us read from verse 7. From verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on tomorrow and continue his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." My brothers and my sisters, we live in a world where the devil is not only scary, but also diligent to draw Christians away from God into the death, into the world. And spiritual tiredness, spiritual laziness, and spiritual death are the result of the work of the devil in Christians today. However, we can strengthen believers, awaken brethren, and resurrect the dead souls through the power that Christ put in us. In this book that we've read, my topic today is don't be tired. Please take care. The devil is in the world. And this reminds me to say that all believers in Christ should never get tired in their walk with the Lord. All believers should not get tired in their walk with the Lord. Below are some of the things that would make Christians shift their focus from God to the world. There are many things that would make a Christian focus not into God's word, but with the things of the world. One is the burdens of sin would make a Christian weary. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, analyzed that very well. He saw the burden of men and women who are created by God in His image, that sin is a very dangerous issue in the lives of every man and even in the lives of every Christian. And therefore, He said in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28, that, "Come unto me, those who are weary and burdened in heart, and I'll give you rest." When Christians cannot take their burdens of sin to the Lord, definitely they are going to be tired, and their walk with God will cease not to be. Number two, the personal daily life and daily needs may make us tired, completely tired, not to walk with God at all. And that's why John in the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious of anything, but in everything put your request to God." So you see, men sometimes be tired of their needs, and they look unto their needs to become so huge that they forget to focus on God. They become tired not to walk with God because they think of the needs. But Paul says, put your trust in God. Don't be anxious of anything. And in everything, just tell God. Hatred and sickness and temptation drives Christians into deep spiritual sleep. When sometimes we feel that we are not loved, sometimes we feel that, oh, sickness is deep in ourselves. And am I going to exist? Am I going to continue living? And this has made men and women curse God because they do not know that God is so powerful that when people feel hated, people feel sick, people are driven in temptation, and they go deep into their spiritual sleep. Man, I want to remind you, Christians, that don't be tired. Take care. God is there for you and for me. And that's why when we read this book, the story of a young man, Eutychus, teaches us that when Christians become weary, they start sinking into spiritual sleep, which later makes it difficult for them to awaken despite the gospel being preached to them. So many people who have come to church have really gone away because they have been burdened by the things of the world, despite of the good gospel preached to them. They still go down into their spiritual sleep. If you look into details, the life of this young man, you can see some of the glimpse of the details of why this young man went into a place where the gospel was preached and the light was burning, but he ended up sleeping. Friends, let me tell you that when Christians get tired, they walk into darkness that is so deep. And it is very unfortunate that in some cases, even the light of the gospel that burns so bright cannot help them either. You see, Let me read verse 8. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. There were lights, but the man could still sleep. The man went into deep sleep. Despite of the light. We know Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the light of the world, Jesus said. And also, despite of that, the gospel is the lamp to our feet. Paul continued to preach the word, and the man continued to sleep. He went deep and deep, step by step, until he slept. Sometimes if we don't get the word of God right, the gospel preached to us will make nothing in our lives. It will be just a burden to us that make us just to go away. And this is why I sometimes wonder, in our country, people live from a good preaching church to a cultic church. And you wonder why. What did they not get into the good preaching church? The word of God that changes life, that makes people repent, that makes them leave that church and go into another cultic church. It's because when you are tired, even if the gospel, the right gospel is preached to you, you will still go into the deep spiritual death. On a light note, we could say that the warmth provided by the burning made the young man lazy and tired, which later caused him to fall asleep. You know what this young man did? If you look into your Bible, he got into this place, straight away went to the window, and sat there. To my imagination, why was this man going to the window? Why did he go and just sit next to the window? He wanted the breeze. He wanted a comfort zone. He wanted to be there alone. He did not know that being alone, being sitting in a comfort zone, is very dangerous. And he kept on being there. Christians, we need to be alert. We need to be alert, stay awake. The word is delivered for us to repent. The word is delivered for us to be strong. The word is delivered for us to perceive and continue to walk this walk to heaven. We must not allow ourselves to be lured into the warmth that this world gives. We should hold on to the gospel and stay alert at all times. However long that the gospel might take, it is the gospel preached to us. But if we run to our comfort zone, we are not going to change the world. If we are looking for the breeze of ourselves, we will not do anything of the kingdom building. The Bible, when it is preached, it changes life. And that's why Jesus says, go ye, make disciples of all nations. Not go ye, sit on your comfort zone, get your breeze, sleep and sleep. No, come up. Come up, do something for the kingdom building. All Christians must walk with God. Number two, believers must learn to work hard and avoid laziness. So many Christians in our country are becoming lazy these days. Maybe it's different from here. They are becoming lazy. They don't read the Bible. They don't pray. They only magnify the needs, the personal needs. And I usually tell them, no, magnify the Lord and God will uplift you up. The desire of staying in a comfort zone eventually leads to sleep, both spiritually and physically. When we desire, let me tell you, my friends, when we desire to be in our comfort zone and stay saying, I don't care about anything. I know I can be alone, I can sit alone, I can do anything alone. It will not help us to grow spiritually. The Bible says that an iron sharpen an iron and a man sharpen a man. Laziness, pride, and loneliness majorly contributes to the spiritual sleep and the death of this young man. He went to a good place, a group of leadership in the church, but because he did not care about the things of God, he might have been so tired working for the things of the world. When he went there, nothing he could do but only to sleep. Christians must go through trials of any kind, and just like Job, these trials make our faith so stronger. Whatever trial you may go on could not let you go down. It should make you stand firm in the Lord and be awake in the Lord. One cannot sit alone, worship alone, sing alone. We need other Christians for fellowship. We need other Christians for fellowship to give us a call. How are you doing, my brother? Can we fellowship? Can we read the Bible? Can we pray? Can I pray for you? We cannot be alone. And look at the danger of this man being alone in the corner, sitting there alone at the window. Technology has brought with it gadgets like iPads, phones, and television. Many people have stopped fellowshipping with other Christians and opt to watch sermons and worship sessions on them. But this behavior has led to loneliness, which is one of the leading causes of spiritual sleep, and at the end, it is death. My friend, we need fellowship like this. We need fellowship like this. When we get out, we greet each other. We say, hello, how are you doing, my brother? To me, I feel that this is what God wants us to do as believers. When we come for fellowship, God strengthens us. When we come for fellowship, God makes us so strong that nobody can come around us. And I want to tell you, my friends, that this young man teaches me many things. When I apply it into my soul, I see something good in it. I did masters in Bible exposition. And when I expose this, I find something that I can give to Christians to learn about it. It's not good to be in our comfort zone, to be in our breeze time, to be alone ourselves as Christians. Christians need each other. We need to sharpen each other. We need to fellowship with each other so that we can develop people. We can make people better in the world. And I want to tell you, number three, believers must be aware of the many dangers that comes with sinking into spiritual sleep. There are dangers that when we go that way, expect it as a Christian. Spiritual sleep eventually leads to both physical and spiritual death. When we go into spiritual sleep, we will die spiritually. Look at that man. He was there. He slept. He fell on the window. He died. And that brought a lot of confusion even within the congregation. When one of us, as believers, when one of us fail in his life, sleep in his life spiritually, everybody in the congregation is sick. Everybody must find something that is touching you if you're a Christian. If one of us fail in his Christian walk or her Christian walk with God, every one of us who has a burden for believers is also sick. When this man fell from the window and died, everybody was scared. The fellowship stopped. My friends, brothers and sisters, let us not sleep. Let us be alert. If we are really believers of Christ, we walk with God. Let us walk with God. It brings destruction to believers who are awake to the gospel. It interferes with the program of the church when somebody fails. Do not sleep. Stay alert. Remember, the devil is roaring like a lion. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He kills in the church. He kills at home. He kills in the state. He kills everywhere when he's given chance. And we know the power of God is more than any other thing. He cannot penetrate when we trust fully in God. And that's why I end up by saying, it's good to have a prophet within you. When the man fell down, Paul walked up and went and raised him up from the dead. That is the work of all the leaders of the church. We raise our people up from the dead. We bring them to know their identity with God. We teach them to love God. The devil is a liar. He is a liar. He will destroy us if we are not very careful. If we sleep deep in our spiritual walk with God, the devil is a liar. My friend, this gospel is preached everywhere. That the devil roaring like an lion, he kills and destroys. He destroyed this man in the fellowship. He can destroy us anytime if we give him chance. Let me give you an illustration, an African illustration, as I end up to watch the video. There was a farmer. A farmer had five nice sheep, very good sheep. And he loved them so much. So every morning he took them with him to the farm. And he tied them there. As he weeds. So as he was weeding, he was looking unto his sheep and count them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Every time he was doing that, one day a thief says, I want to steal this sheep. And he said, I will make a trick and I must steal and eat this sheep. So he went and tricked the man. And he took one sheep, slaughtered it, and brought the head and put it in a stick, looking unto that man. So he went again. He came and took the second sheep, slaughtered it, took it, took the head, and put a stick, looking at that man. So that man is keep on doing the work, and he looks and says, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. My sheep are there. So he did all the sheep, 5, and he went. So when the man finished the work and was going to take his sheep, he found only the heads, the souls, the body had already gone. My friend, let me tell you, as I apply this, it is very easy for a pastor in a church, very easy for the leadership of a church, just to have the heads, but the souls have been stolen by the devil. The souls are gone. You can just count the number of the people, however thousand they are, but they are only the heads. The souls are not there. Jesus is looking for our souls. let us give our souls to the Lord, or else the devil will steal the souls of believers. And remember, God says, you believe by your soul and confess by your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you're saved. May God of heaven bless us to have whole of us, both mind and soul and spirit, to serve the Lord, to work for him until he comes back. That is what I'm doing in Africa. That's what we do to change the lives. I pray that I be alert. I don't sleep to change the lives of so many people through the power of God, to resurrect the dead in spirit by preaching the word of God, despite of how lazy they can be, to awaken them up by the gospel and tell them Jesus is there. We bring children and we teach them the word. We tell them Jesus is the Lord. Let us watch the video. Thank you very much and God bless you.
Banaz Vision Schools in Ahero and Wachara, Kisumu County in Kenya, are a story of hope and transformation. Since inception years back, tremendous transformation has taken root in the lives of hundreds of needy children. The schools have become a pillar of hope through taking children from very needy and punishing environment to nurturing talents and helping them realize their full potential. From such an environment, this young pupil has found hope in Banaz Vision School Ahero. When he arrives at the school, he forgets all the challenges at home and he is ready to brighten his future through this friendly environment. Lucky Awino, a class 4 pupil, helps her mother in household chores when she closes school. She happily goes back to school to join others in school. The saline environment restores joy, peace, and hope for living.
My name is Martha Ogola. I work at Banaz Vision School. I'm in charge of guidance and counseling, a department particularly full of hope, full of love, and full of physical improvements of the kids, especially those from the rehabilitations, those from the streets, and those from vulnerable families. Majorly, we give them hope under spiritual, on academic issue, and life improvement, because we manage to make them know that life is not all about suffering. It's what you get that makes hope in you.
This is Banaz Vision School Ahero, and look at all these kids here we are taking care of. Our plan, our vision is to educate, is to clothe and to feed and to make them have a better future. And here we have almost 415 kids.
The story of the two schools is permanently written in the pupils' hearts.
Our school is called Banaz Vision School. It is a wonderful school. Our director is the Bishop of AIC Church. When I grow up, I would like to join Banaz Vision School Secondary.
Class 1001H, Mirabel Ann, presents a poem, Names, by Jean Warren. Everybody has a name. Some are different, some the same. Some are short, some are long. All are right, none are wrong. I like my name. It is special to me. It is exactly who I want to be.
Most of the pupils in this school are orphans. So when they come here, we guide them, we counsel them so that they live comfortably in the school and they feature in their education.
the performance of the two schools cannot go unmentioned.
I came in this school in class 4, and from that time, I didn't know to speak well. And since that year, I can now speak well. I have confidence, and I can speak in front of many people. But when I was in a public school, I could not manage to do so.
I like this school because it performs well in exam. It participates in music festivals.
The mean grade of last year KCP performance was 333, which was a positive deviation of 32 marks. The school serves many pupils in this community, and I'm very happy and pleased to have them here because they are doing well in their exams.
Teachers, too, are happy to participate in this transformational process. Their effort has earned recognition in the area community. After 8th grade, students join other schools for secondary education. For years now, it has been a great challenge to transition from this environment which they are used to and join other schools.
There is a problem of that transition, that is from primary to secondary. The learners here are orphans, and we find that it is always very difficult. After scoring very high marks, which actually enables them to join the national school, the public national schools, they charge very high school fees.
Every year we graduate over 30 to 40 kids going to high school. Unfortunately, that many of them are not able to attend high school simply because of the expenses in the high school. Most of them are just face away from 8th grade. And this is my appeal for prayer request, that our plan is to build a high school for these kids, that after they have done with the 8th grade here, they will get a chance to get to high school here in Berners Vision School. That's why our prayer is to build Berners Vision High School, so that every one of these children will get to get education that is necessary for them. Please help us to help these kids by building a high school. We need about $250,000 to build this high school. And we don't know how this will come, that we trust that the Lord will really bless us with this money.
Due to this reason, this land has been identified for the construction of Berners Vision Secondary School. This requires your partnership. In Wachara, Berners Vision Health Center is another great and noble facility. Here, both the young and old receive medical care. It has saved many lives.
Challenges we have here, we have mostly malaria cases and typhoid cases. When a patient gets in or a patient pop in with difficulties, we normally refer to lab first for giving us easy diagnosis. What I can urge is that if we can get another wing of maternity, it can really help a lot. Because as per now, we only have one room serving the maternity ward.
The surrounding community can now receive health care at their doorsteps. There before, they traveled for many miles in search of health care. The future of this medical center is bright. There is a plan to build an ultra scan and X-ray center to help in diagnosis of major cases.
The need for the X-ray machine and the ultrasound machine. These machines will help people around here to examine their health, because there's none of any machine like that in this community, in this area, in this location. And this building will cost us $80,000, inclusive of all the medical facilities that we need. We pray that God will continue to move the hearts of people who are willing to support this project so that we can accomplish it by the will of God.
This Bible school in Ahero has facilitated enormous spiritual development to many aspiring church pastors and leaders. Those who have gone through this college have made tremendous achievements in the missions field.
Life has really changed, and I want to thank Bishop Bernard Ondiek for his help, that he has been helping me with school fees. I'm trusting God to help me, especially now that I'm going to work in the children ministry.
I came here in 2015 doing a diploma course. I have enjoyed the whole episode. I've made friends. I've developed in the theological matters. And now when I go outside, I believe I am going to do the marvelous and impact on the people that are outside.
So Aero has been training men and women. And right now we have trained over 1,000 since the school was started. And we are happy that they are doing remarkable work in the field.
In the missions field, church planting is key. This church and others have been planted recently. More churches need to be planted in this area. In Kendu Bay, a land has been identified for the building of a similar church at a cost of $8,000. Thank you so much, our partners, for helping in building of this dining and hostel block in Wachara. Also, the roofing of this Bible school was successfully completed.
Thank you. Thank you so much for praying for this vision, and it is lively. We love you for doing this to us. And for those who have kept on supporting this ministry, may God bless you. Bye-bye.
If you want to support the ministry, go to www.hungryforhim.com. For children's support and teachers and general projects, please go to www.godslittleones.com. For the Bible school, please go to partnersinevangelisminternational.com. If you want to watch the progress of the school, go to our website www.barnardsvisionschool.co.ke.
Thank you, Bernard. Appreciate your ministry to us today, and we will continue to do what we can to support you in any way that God enables us to do that. And we will be praying for these extra projects you have in mind regarding the high school and need to the medical clinic and so on. And we look forward to you coming back again and giving us an update on just how much progress has been made. So I'd like to have prayer at this time as I close for Bernard and for his ministry. But I also want to also allow Bernard to get to the foyer so you can greet him out there. So, Bernard, if you and Gordon want to just go ahead now and make your way back around the corner there of the foyer, and the folks can greet you on the way out. And as you do, I'll be praying for these specific needs. Will you bow with me in prayer? Father, we have been blessed and uplifted by Bernard's ministry to us today, as well as enlightened by the presentation of what you have done and what you are continuing to do and what we are praying you will do as far as future ministry and expansion. And we lay before you the need of the high school. It's a big vision, but you have fulfilled Bernard's visions from day one, and we have no doubt that you will bring this about in your time. And the needs of the medical clinic as well, to be able to provide more opportunities and avenues for medical care for people in an area where there is medical care that is so scarce and so far away. So thank you for planting these visions on Bernard's heart and for allowing him to stand strong in the midst of discouragement and of opposition. I'm grateful for his staff that you've raised up to assist with teaching and with the other parts of medical care and administration. And as he leaves this place and has a couple more weeks in the States here, we pray for continued good health for him, and that as he heads back to Kenya soon, that he'll return to a program that is running smoothly and ready to advance to the next level. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people here and for the opportunities you've given us to be a part of this ongoing mission and vision. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be dismissed.